Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Oh, the door closing. Drew, you're awesome at that. Did you hear me yell, Harry?
Slipping stuff in. She was hurrying. I just slipped something past her. Oh, there it goes.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Youch. We just heard some crazy feedback in our ear.
Oh, Peanut. Special effects.
Nick Hexum are here tonight from 311.
Woohoo!
Don't tread on me.
Where's the fake applause?
I clap for us. There we go. Name of the CD. Out in about three, four weeks. When the hell are we in? Yeah.
It's a cool album. I mean, cover and stuff.
I haven't even taken a look at it. Yeah. So we're going to hear something off the new CD. That's correct, right?
The release date is 8/16, August 16th.
And you guys are going to be at the Grove in Anaheim on August 1st. You ever been to the Grove, Drew?
No, I don't think it's
right off the Big
Fairfax?
A?
No.
The Grove. There's a Grove. No, that's another Grove. This is the Anaheim Grove.
No.
It's a big, nice, new theater that's like basically in the front of the parking lot of Angel Stadium, right?
Cool.
They call it the Meriwether Pavilion, perhaps? Is that the same place?
I'm only familiar with the Meriwether Post out east.
I think it's across the street from the pond.
Across the street from the pond?
Yeah, down the street
it's
from the
somewhere,
pond.
Which is basically on the other side Mickey of the freeway Mouse. From the A Stadium.
Yeah.
No, it's right in there.
It's right
no,
there.
It's on, you park.
Could be.
All right, go get on the schematic or something. Put up the bat signal. It's a cool
check
place.
Out the World Wide Web.
You guys haven't played there?
Yeah, we did play there once.
Did we?
Yes.
All right,
shows
could
you
be
shows
fantastic.
You what I know.
Could, all right. Well, listen, you guys rock. You're not Magellan. You're Moroccan. You know what I'm saying?
Moroccan and Magellan.
Yeah. You don't know where you've been, man. You only know where you're going.
Exactly.
You know what I'm
look
saying,
forward,
dude?
Look forward.
True that.
Yeah, you're just looking out the back of the tour bus, man.
In the front of the tour bus, it says further. That's
yeah,
where we're going.
What's behind you is he who have been rocked, and what is lays before you is those about to rock. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
You worry about those who are about to rock. The band, you know what I like about the band? It says self-described friends for life,
ooh,
which is nice.
Yes, we get along in small quarters.
You're
gay. And it's hard to do. We were, all partnerships usually and bands, which are sort of larger partnerships, they end up hating each other. Like, you know, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And then, Drew, that's going to happen.
Adam and me.
Yeah, that should happen. And we'll have a tearful reunion once you're stricken with something in about 20 years.
Well, good. Good TV.
I'll show up all bloated.
I'm here to help you, friend.
And we'll do that thing.
You'll be like Jerry Lewis on steroids.
We reunite in the name of cerebral palsy or something. And we have a weird hug. And I got my bow tie undone. And I'm all bloated. And we just cry. And I, you know, I talk about it. Neither one of us knows what went wrong.
No, of course not.
We just don't know. They never specifically know. Usually they know.
It wasn't me.
Look, the point is we're here now. What's behind us is who have been rocked. Yeah, so how long's the band been together? It's been like...
Started in 90, 15
years.
These guys have been doing Loveline for 12 years.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
12 years here.
And I guess if you go on for long enough, you either get stronger or you just start to want to kill each other. And you guys...
Both.
No, you're on the strong route.
Yeah, we're stronger than ever right now. We're in the zone, man. We just made this album in a third of the time that the previous one took. And,
really?
We're real excited about it.
Why? What do you attribute that to?
Just a lot of momentum and confidence that came from, you know, a really good year with... the 51st States thing, and then the Love Song Cure cover that we did,
right.
and just our fan base was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we just had a lot of ideas, and we just recorded them quickly at our own studio, and we just feel like
where was the studio?
It's in North Hollywood, and it's the same place we did the previous album.
Yeah, and you own it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Real estate, baby. Look into it.
No ass. Oh, I've looked. Yeah. Kept telling Drew to look, but he wouldn't listen.
But that was another reason. That was another reason why Evolver took so long, is we were putting that studio together. So when we went in this time, we could just get to work and just be creative like we like.
Yeah. I'm from North Hollywood, so I know your digs. Where are you guys about? So you don't have to give the address, but...
Oh, we're in the Arts District.
Ah, the NoHo?
Oh, yeah.
NoHo Arts.
Television Arts and Sciences.
Yeah.
And don't let them say there's NoHos there.
Yeah. I went to...
There's a sign.
I went to North Hollywood High, which is good, because I tell people, I'm from North Hollywood, and they go, what high school did you go to? And I go, North Hollywood High, which really proves you are from North Hollywood.
They're building a new high school. Oh, you seen this?
They are?
Like on Cahuenga. Yeah, it's weird.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's huge.
Yeah, it's probably a prison.
Yeah.
All right. More money in it.
Adam, the Grove of Anaheim is on Catella down the street from Disneyland.
Oh, what's in the parking lot of the Big A there?
Yeah. Who cares?
All right, find that one out. Find out what the venue, the big venue is that's in the parking lot of the Big A.
A stadium.
In the meantime, I can say that I had a celebrity go-kart race underneath the big, huge A. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. It was so much fun. These things go...
Second place, right?
And I was leading for the first half, and then I hit a bell and just... Oh, right. Came in last, but...
Second place.
Guys from Pennywise were there. Corn and...
Yes.
Well, not Fletcher.
No. Oh, good.
No kidding.
Good.
Couldn't fit in one of those things.
No, it wouldn't. It'd just be called a cart, not a go. They'd have to remove the word go. Fletcher's in a cart.
That'd be a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I did one of those things, too, and I got my ass kicked by Chick. But my argument was the weight factor, the extra weight.
Yeah. She's lighter.
Yeah, that's perfect. What I'm saying.
Drag.
Steve?
Yeah.
27?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
Not much. I say good day to you gentlemen.
I said good day.
Good
day back at you.
We were having a laugh the other night about that was about the worst you could cuss somebody out like 150 years ago.
I said like, good day, sir.
Like you get in an argument with someone at the end. It's like, I said good day.
I will say good day to you and just storm out of the door.
Right. That does like, you might have to duel or something if someone called you a good day.
Says good day to you.
It's like you're rushing to the house, you're getting your pistols. Where are you going? Somebody said good day to me. And in a different tone than a friendly one.
That's their arse.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, what it. Now, I mean, you see, this is what, you know what we did? You know what we did with cussing in this culture is we effed the S out of it, and now it's no good anymore.
You can't go any further.
Yeah. I blame black comics. They just.
It's all Richard Pryor's fault.
They just too many N-words and MFers, and now nothing means anything anymore. And now you can't raise an eyebrow. Used to be you could tell someone F off or suck
now
or whatever.
Now it's just a comma.
Yeah, it's
like a semicolon.
Yeah, it's no good anymore. Yeah. It's been taken out.
Give Lenny Bruce some credit. Bruce, he started it.
Yeah,
and he got arrested for doing a 311, which is an indecent exposure, doing an indecent performance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. And just because he said CS.
And, you know, right.
CSer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With the ER.
Ooh.
One who.
That's right. And look how we've evolved 40 years later.
I know,
we're saying CSer with an R.
Right. We're really free.
We're free. Well, but if it weren't for courageous pioneers like Lenny Bruce, we wouldn't be able to say CSer with an R.
We'd be arrested.
At 11 at night. You know what I'm saying? God bless. See, we have to give homage to guys.
Yeah,
pay
course,
homage
right.
to these guys every once in a while.
They broke through.
The reason we're able to say CSer with an R is because of brave pioneers like Lenny Bruce.
Look, Steve, I'm telling you.
Oh,
ooh.
Come on.
Ooh.
Oh, come on, Drew.
Thanks Steve? For calling, Steve.
Steve?
What's up, Steve?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
I was just wondering, can you get genital warts through giving oral sex?
Can you get them on your mouth?
You would actually get them on your mouth?
There is such a thing.
You don't hear about it.
I've never seen it. Yeah, I've never seen it. It's pretty rare.
Pretty rare thing. Okay.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But there is concern about that out there, so.
Yeah. Well, tell the dude to put a condom on.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
Wait, so is it because your girlfriend won't do it to you because you're carrying those?
Or she has warts and you're afraid you're going to get it?
She actually just told me last week, and it was nice of her because her previous boyfriend, she didn't even tell. But she decided to tell me before we've done anything, so now I'm pretty concerned about that. So.
It could mean a couple different things, by the way.
Let me guess.
You'll be mean she started trying to turn him away.
I wouldn't take it as a good thing necessarily.
Yeah, I see your point.
The kind of girl you don't bring home to mother.
No, what kind of girl? 80% of girls his age have the wart virus.
It used to be 50%.
It's very common.
In the last 3 weeks, it's gone up to 80 now, Drew?
It's certainly 50%. I've seen the data lately has been crazy. It just shows it's exquisitely
Drew, remember
common.
The $100 I made from you? Because you swore I had warts.
I'll bring in the data.
Go get the data.
You may have had it at one time, because now what they are showing is that they last less long than they thought they had. But they're very common.
Here's what happened. I told Drew I didn't have warts, and he said, oh, yeah, you do. And I said, no, I've never had a wart.
You do now.
And I'm pretty forthright.
I'm saying you must have had it, because,
I must have. Drew says 50% of people, you know, youngish people living in urban areas or whatever. Have this, which just to me means Drew has it. But I told him I didn't have it, and he just refused to believe me. So eventually I bet him $100, and he dumped acetic acid on my pepe.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There it is.
I just dumped acid all over my penis.
That's the way you look at it under black light.
Under black light.
It shows the pre-cancer.
And who won?
I got the $100. Suspicious. Let's put it that
you
way.
Saw some suspicious stuff.
And by the way, that's like trying to wrestle
we have to do
a
it
pot
again.
Of honey away from a grizzly bear getting $100 from Drew. So believe me, if he paid me that $100, I say good day to his wallet. That's what I say.
Fact is, it's exceedingly common. Everyone that gets a pap smear now gets tested for this.
All right, because it's not so 80% common. Of women.
Well, yeah, I've seen data like that. I'm just saying very common. Very, right, very common.
Not in this kind.
And a condom fully protects from this?
Not fully, but it helps protect against it.
But she has a genital on her genitals, and he wants to he performed oral on her.
He wants to know that he's okay.
Right, well, let's say that's okay.
Probably is.
Let me just ask him another question.
Use some Listerine,
Steve,
when you're done with it.
Yeah.
Hey, how long have you two been going out?
Well, actually, this time around, 2 weeks. We haven't seen each other for 2 years, and then she was STD-free that I know of, and we just kind of hooked back up 2 weeks ago.
Steve, it doesn't sound like this a marriage made in heaven.
Definitely
seems
not.
Seems like there's a little baggage, a little sewage under the bridge.
All this energy about genital warts is a little disturbing to me. I mean, yes, it needs to be. Because it's so.
Yeah, but
common.
He has other issues, which is they broke up. She had sex with some guy for a while, maybe a friend of his, and now they're back and he's angry, but he's still into her. Steve.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I've learned in my travels. Maybe I'd just start with a clean sheet of paper. You know, this has too many marks on it from the eraser, you two. You know, sketches you've drawn, erased, plans you've made and crossed out. Like, just start with a fresh sheet. Just go find some chick that you don't know dated one of your friends or, you know what I mean, you don't have that weird history with.
Okay.
Or drop it, get over it, and get on with the relationship, but don't live in limbo.
Okay. Yeah.
But don't fool yourself if, you know, you can tell she's not really of your ilk.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you're the worst one, but from what you're saying, by having this concern, you're worried about her sort of cleanliness and also, therefore, ethics.
That's ridiculous.
That is so ridiculous.
Not what you're saying, but that he would feel that way about somebody that has something that most people have. It has nothing to do with her cleanliness.
Most
people have or have had.
Drew, you know I'm always right, though, right?
Let me see if I have any data.
All right, go get some data and make sure it's in your favor.
Information superhighway.
Yeah. And would you find out that venue that's in the parking lot of the Anaheim Stadium?
Here's a picture of Angel Stadium, and there is nothing else there because they expanded it and they made it all exciting.
All right, now
I can help you.
Now
with
I'm going to go insane. What?
Who cares?
Get on there, Nick, would you? Annie? Oh, wait, we got a question for the band. Hold on a second.
I'm one-fifth of the band.
Oh, wait, Nick. Yeah,
he's
Nick, come back
he's
and answer
back.
Answer this question. We'll do it during the song. Drew, don't become like Lenny Bruce with his court papers up there going insane.
Just try to represent
look at it.
Yeah, Lenny, it's not that funny just reading the court papers.
Right.
Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you.
And then...
All right.
Drew,
do it during the commercial. We'll promise we'll give you your time.
We've got this question for the band. Come on.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Annie.
Hi, I just want to say hi to Nick and everything, and I love you guys. And
I'll be everything.
Hi, Amy.
Annie.
We love you too.
Annie, go ahead.
Annie.
Hi, Annie. Annie.
Yeah.
I'm Peanut, and I said your name right first.
I said I love you.
Oh.
Yeah, he's into commitment.
Okay. Well, my question was about the new album, Don't Tread on Me. And I know that Evolver definitely had some new sounds and vibes compared to your previous albums. And I was wondering if you guys personally think if the new album bring back the classic 311 sound or something similar or different to Evolver.
Well, I think we go through a sort of a back and forth phase of wanting to really sort of reinvent the wheel as we know it, and albums like Evolver or Transistor were more all new sounds, and then some are more back to basics like the Blue Album, and I believe Don't Tread on Me is more of a, it's more of just a fun album that was made a lot quicker than some of our previous albums, and but there's definitely departures there, but I wouldn't characterize it as a big departure album. It's more a lot of songs are going to be fun to play live, and just a snapshot of what we're doing right now. And people like Peanut's mom here said that when she heard it, it reminded her of us in 1993-94 era. So maybe that's what some people want to hear. Other people want to hear brand new stuff, but we're just doing what naturally comes out.
Let me ask you guys a question. When you're doing new music and you're doing it live, obviously there's not a comfort level, or not as comforting and familiar as songs you know and have done a million times. Is it still fun, or do you have to sort of think about it a little more, and does it turn into a little more of a job? You know what I'm saying?
It just takes a little while to be comfortable with new stuff, just like anything. I would say what you're doing, but you've got a handle on it. You know, you've been doing this for so long. I don't think people could surprise you by saying anything. I think every time I come in and do this show, I'm always surprised by what the people say, but it seems like you two hold it down so deeply that, you know, you're not really that surprised by it. And I think the same is kind of true. Even with new songs, they're really not that different, because we're working with the same group of people in this same, like, format that we've been doing
for
15
years. And you guys created this song, so it's not like someone dropped the song off and told you to learn it.
Right, and we rehearse really hard, and, you know, everything just leads up to it. And we tour for a living. That's the one thing we can really rely on, so it's what we focus on.
Obviously, there's songs you like more than other songs when you're playing live. Are there any songs that you just kind of like to get through to get to the ones that you're really looking forward to? Or if you had one of those, would you put it on the set list? Or does that vary from band member to band member, and do you ever talk about it or argue about it?
Well, you take a song like the one that closed out our last album, off Evolver, Sometimes Jack's Rule of the Realm. Now, this is a song that's basically like six or seven movements strung together, and there's like a really...
Hold on. Drew, do you got your data?
Yeah.
All right, don't make so much noise with it, though. You're flapping
I'm almost
it.
Done here.
Go ahead.
Please bear with me. Anyway.
It's so hot in here.
I know, but what are you, in church? Relax.
I'm in Atlanta.
Seven-year-old black woman, like Aunt Esther over there. Yes, I'm sorry, Nick.
The point being is that the first
time, to pull off.
The first time we played it, it was pretty nerve-wracking, because it starts out with just like my vocal, and it's kind of very at the top of my range, and acoustic guitar, and then there's this like mandolin-y thing, and it's this big long journey. So yeah, you're pretty much on your toes. It's pretty nerve-wracking, but the sense of satisfaction you get when you do that is fantastic. It's not. And, you know, if we play the same old stuff over and over, like the, you know, the Beach Boys out doing fun,
right,
30 years later, that would, you know, maybe get boring. But we're still finding ways to change it up all the time, and we've got so many different songs to choose from, and we're not just all about regurgitating the hits.
If I was in the Beach Boys, I'd be like, let's change it up and let's do fun. Let's just I don't want to totally go a different direction, but let's add one more
fun.
Yeah, let's add two more funs. All right, Drew, what do you got there, buddy?
All right, this is from the American Cancer Society and the U.S. Preventative Services.
Never heard of either one of those.
The researcher says the vast majority of adolescents... Wait, where am I with my data here? Okay. Noted that 50% of sexually active adolescent girls have been exposed to HPV, and their Pap test will show mild abnormalities as a result. Some researchers go even farther
exposed,
and say...
Exposed, though, is different
than
having it.
That more than 50% have been exposed.
All right, exposed is different than
that's
having.
That's the same thing.
No. That's exposed.
How would you test for it? How would you test for the exposure unless they have the virus?
I don't know, Drew. You're a scientist. That's what you've got to do.
There is no test for exposure.
I'm a carpenter. I'm a comedian.
You have to
Renaissance man. I'm not, no.
So that means they've got it.
Exposed. No, Drew, please.
It means they've got it.
Get on the website. You check it out. All right.
You want me to go back on the web again?
Yeah.
Right.
Nick, did you find that venue? We're going to hear a 311 song. That's what we need to do. Michelle?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
It's called The Grove, right?
Yeah, that's Grove it. Grove of Anaheim.
But isn't it in the parking lot of the Big A?
Oh, water tower. Boy.
All right, listen, I'm going to find this thing.
It's on Catella.
I got to find a helicopter shot of this thing. This is from 311 off the new album, Don't Tread on Me. And this one's called Don't Tread on Me.
You loved it.
311, everybody.
That's the new
off the new CD. Yeah, stuff. Don't Tread on Me. Out August 16th. We got to take a quick break. Drew has got a new head full of data and underpants.
He's got a head full of ideas.
Poo.
And steam.
And steam.
Steamy poo.
Steamy poo. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 311 in the studio tonight. Peanut, Nick Hexum here tonight. We will hear another song off Don't Tread on Me in the 11 o'clock hour. Drew did his research on the genital warts, and Drew
found that 50 to 75% of people will contract the wart virus at some point in their life.
But
that presently, the data shows somewhere between 10 and 30% have it. My point was not to ostracize or sort of think ill of someone who has it, because most people get it at some point in their life.
Right.
Particularly young, sexually active folks.
Well, it helps.
It helps to be that, yeah.
You'd be pissed if you're a virgin and you got
warts. That'd be unfair.
That's a tough hand.
Yeah.
That's like an AIDS from a transfusion. I said good day to you, dear AIDS. All right. Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. If I get something good, I want to do something.
You want
to
earn it. Earn it, yeah.
Or at least it.
Right. Smith Barney. Jen?
Yes?
What happened to the days, by the way, when a commercial would come out and then TV talk show hosts would take hold of it, and then for like 3 years it'd be, I can't believe I ate the whole thing, was the punchline of every sitcom and all. There's too many channels, too many commercials now, like we can't do it anymore.
TiVo. We don't watch commercials anymore.
Yeah, but there's too many.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it used to be...
good times.
You come up with Where's the Beef, and you would just ride that pony into the ground for like 5 years, and now, nothing. Song parodies. Yeah.
Nothing. No,
it's all gone. All right, where were we, Drew?
There you go.
Jen?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
How's that working out for you?
Well, like a year ago, I moved out to California with this guy I was dating who was a skinhead. And he left and he came back and we started to have a relationship again. Well, now...
Right, yeah. That was... If you're going to say one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Break it up big. Break it up big, Jen. Good thing Lenny Bruce broke through so Jen could express herself.
Yep. Yeah. I'll tell you, if that MF or L beer didn't get up there with the C, S, or R...
that was hard to explain. I fumbled a little bit.
I'm taking notes here.
But you know what I'm saying. The point is he was a pioneer, and we're all better off for it. Jen.
Yes.
You cannot. Oh, yeah, hold on. Anderson's trying to reboot. We have a delay.
I got Todd on the board tonight, so we just dumped it. So give us a couple minutes.
Okay. All right, let's go to another call, then we'll get back to stupid.
Hold on 1 second.
Adam Carolla.
Yeah. I want to change the pool game Marco Polo.
Shut up! Shut up! I said shut up!
Anderson plays that every time Michelle speaks into the mic, and nobody can understand what it is, but it's one more reason we don't want to hang out with Anderson.
Yeah.
All right. So... I want to change the popular kids' pool game Marco Polo to Adam Carolla.
Very popular.
It's very popular. It could be more popular when my name is in there.
It rolls right off the tongue. Sweeping the nation.
What a legacy. And then hundreds of years from now, you know, Marco Polo's been dead for like 900 years. Hundreds of years from now, when they were playing Adam Carolla, people would be like, what? Who is
that guy?
My dad told me he made beat-off jokes on the radio.
He invented a car called a Corolla that would go and go and go.
And it was his favorite vehicle.
Jen?
Yes?
All right, so, are you rebooted, Anderson?
We don't want to boot Jen again.
Jen.
Okay, yes.
Please try not. Here's what'll prevent you from swearing on the air. Do not gather any momentum. Verbally.
Okay.
Because when people gather verbal momentum, then their mouth gets a little ahead of their brain. Well, you were drunk at least. Their mouth gets ahead of their brain and they can't get it back into the bar.
Yeah.
I said, slow down.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jen.
He was having sex with this black girl.
African-American woman.
And he was just saying that.
But he's a skinhead and he's racist,
and
right?
I'm also Mexican.
So he likes, he doesn't live up to his creed.
Yeah.
Fired, Jen.
Slow down.
All right.
But you see what happened? She was at a nice, steady 55. Then she saw the cop pull off the off ramp. She started putting her right foot down. Next thing you know, she went to Boo City.
That's a disturbed person. Cannot even contain, cannot utter three or four sentences on an environment where she knows clearly she can't do those things.
Wow. Maybe perhaps we should have brought it up to her.
That's a disturbed person.
I just want to put her on hold. I want to get her number off the air. I'm looking for a nanny. Not that she would be good, but I feel like I could get her cheap. You know what I mean? And to me, hey, let's face it, it's about money. Let's be honest, everybody. Oh, what a delight. Now, what else do you need to know about young Jen?
Nothing. She's
nothing?
Probably like a
getting some therapy?
Person. No.
No? Tranquilize yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
whatever you can get.
There's skinheads against racial prejudice, also known as sharps, out there.
Oh, really?
They're out there, so.
Well, I sort of believe...
Yeah, but why wouldn't he just Why would he give up on Jen? I mean, just such
a delight. Yeah, how could you say
pleasure
no to this?
Be around. I mean,
the quality girl there. Yeah,
you know,
you got a raw deal.
Yeah, and these demure types don't come around very often.
No, and
you
it
know
must
what
be
I mean?
So delightful to spend time with her, be around her. Oh, can you
I guess you probably
her wordplay is just mesmerizing.
Oh, I could see her playing the cello, probably classically trained
harpsichord,
flute, harpsichord. Yeah, those are her instruments.
Yeah, you play little Baroque music.
Think about the colorful words she's using sonata. Right now, yeah. Describing her.
And only on period instruments, too. Mozart on period instruments only. She's a purist.
Oh, yeah.
And she just plays
absolutely.
And cries because it moves her so.
Absolutely.
Screams the F word between those phrases of music.
Very nice. She's doing a waltz right now.
Oh, and she's like, mostly Mozart is over at the Civic. I have balcony tickets. This will be excellent. Excelsior, she yells.
It's a wonderful thing to yell.
Excelsior.
Speaking of period pieces.
Oh, I had this idea today, shifting gears. I was thinking about tranquilizing Jen. I thought the evolution of dentistry. I was thinking about dentists. Well, I have to go to the dentist.
Oh, man.
I did that last week.
I'm going Friday. What you have done?
I fixed a chip that I got playing basketball. I'm like one of my incisors. Yeah, cleaned it up. And I had a little decalcification going on in my molars. Uh-oh. I had to get that worked on. It was great. I just brought in my iPod and put the songs on shuffle.
I gotta get that iPod. That's smart.
It was fine. It was a good thing to be able to block out.
Is that sarcasm?
No.
Because I remember I was plugging 4 years ago. I was just going on and on about the iPod.
Right. Was I making fun of it?
No, you were just clueless. You still haven't got one?
No,
he's got four.
Okay. I'm into it.
You're saying, bring
it in. I'm going to bring it in. That's
smart.
That's right. Because unfortunately, though, music can't drown out the drilling into bone.
There's no way.
What's going to be going on with
me. Do you still have a space back there?
I got to have another post put in.
Because you waited so long on the other one?
No, this, would you drop your attitude,
because you
please?
Because you had a post. Right?
I had
Get
a
off
post.
Me, Dad.
Yeah, Dad. I hate you so much right now.
I'm going to get my own place someday.
I hope I never go to college.
Son, that hurts.
I hope I go gay.
Well, that's right.
I'm going to hold my breath until I'm
plans
gay.
For you, son.
No, here's what happened. I got one titanium post put in place.
But you never finished it, right?
No, I'm getting the crown put on that one, but I need a second titanium post.
So right now it's just bling, because
there's just a post.
Let's see.
You could put in a nice guest bed.
Those of you
in
the audience could see Dr. Drew leaning into Adam's mouth.
It has a flying saucer attached to his jawbone.
It's a big post. And the way it's
titanium, though.
It's 4 millimeters. I mean,
huge.
It's not a little skinny
it's
post.
It's a saucer.
Yeah, so the thing is the way they get it to stay there is they drill into your jawbone and then they tap it. And the fact that I'm a carpenter and I know how this stuff works even makes it hurt even more.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's no different than what you do with wood, I guarantee
you. Right. You tap it right into the bone and then screw this thing into the bone.
People expect this stuff to be delicate and sort of...
Oh, right. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
No.
I don't need this.
It's got a sting.
It's woodwork. In fact, it's metal work.
I don't need this. I don't need this now.
Bring
or ever. But here's the point. I'm doing this on Friday. And... You know, so there's the evolution of dentistry. I was thinking of it. You know, first thing, you did nothing. You just, have to bite on a spoon, and then they give you a little brandy, and then some ether or something came in, and eventually Novocaine came around, and that evolved in some sort of twilight sleep where they give you a little gas, and they knock you down with some nitrous. But here's the next evolution I was thinking about.
Wow.
Even with the nitrous and the, you know, the pills and all that stuff, you still have the psychological part of driving to the dentist to have this crazy work done on your jaw. I would like to be darted. I realize...
In your home?
Anywhere.
Just,
I would be out at restaurant raising a toast and be like, you know, when I met Cheryl and Steve about 8 years ago, and it just fall over.
I regret nothing.
And I just wake up at home with cotton in my mouth.
Perfect.
What the hell? We had to go to the dentist.
Perfect.
Wow.
And your kidney's missing.
Right. But just, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, you'd feel a sting in your neck, and the next thing you know, you just wake up, you'd be driving, your wife be driving you home, and you'd be like, what's up? You remember that post you needed? Well,
it's
done. Well, when are we, it's done. Wow. See, I didn't even have the psychological
and you're
part
into
about
Tahiti.
Looking into it. Yeah. Okay. That's the next one.
Isn't that how they got B.A. Baracus, Mr. T's character on the A-Team, into exotic locales? They knocked him out because he was afraid to fly?
That's how every episode of the A-Team works. Like,
that ruled.
B.A.
We met him. That was one of my crowning achievements as a musician.
B.A., we're going to the Congo.
On Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Oh,
that's
really?
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he got up and danced all mixed up for a little bit.
He hugged every one of us. Yeah. It was amazing.
Big bear hugs.
B.A. Pity the fool. B.A. would always be like...
He's shorter than I would have expected.
Yeah.
He's not a tall man, but he's got a lot of heart.
Right. It's all heart.
Every
soul,
episode would
chains.
Be this, like, B.A., we're getting on a plane. We're going to the Congo. You know I don't travel by airplane, sucker. And he'd be like, okay. And the next thing he'd be like, buttermilk. Let me have some of that. He never really made the correlation between him drinking a beverage and laced with something a guy would hand him on the tarmac.
Immediately, by the way, immediately champagne. Following him declaring he doesn't fly.
Right,
always.
Right. I don't fly. Give me that buttermilk, jump. The other thing I loved about the A-Team, and I was just thinking about the A-Team today, they were they're Vietnam vets who were accused of a crime they didn't commit.
Literary genius.
And they were living in the, they roaming the L.A. underground, yeah. All right? And there was an MP that was hot on their heels all the time. They were keeping a low profile. It's like, hey, have you seen these guys? There's a black guy with 70 feet of gold anchor chain around his neck. He's wearing coveralls and his sleeves are cut off. He drives a van
with the big red stripe.
Yeah. Yeah, there's other guys driving a canary yellow Corvette. Yeah, have you seen those guys?
never spot them.
They're burning out all the time. Yeah, they're in the house, right? Yeah, they're down the street.
Making vast sums of money.
Could you miss these guys? Could you miss these? Yeah, they're five adult males all living in the same house driving a custom van, open headers. No, I don't know who those guys are. Never seen them before.
Now, this is very entertaining for us over 30 people, but like most people at home are like, what's an A-Team?
Flip over to Nick at Night.
Look up A-Team, you a-holes. That was TV. Yeah. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Michelle, please find that venue.
Well, let's clarify. That's TV we suffered with when we were
That's all we had. We didn't have that great education.
Yeah, we need a break. We've helped so many people.
It was better than the Golden Girls and Alf, though. It fit right in the
combined.
Middle.
Yes. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with 311 after this. Hey, everybody. We on? Loveline.
Not that I'm a rich girl.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. 311 is here tonight. Woo-hoo. We have Peanut, Nick Hexum here from the band. The CD, which is not going to be out for about 3.5 to 4 weeks. We are going to hear another song. Drew, into us. Mm. Drew called dibs on the 311 CD almost immediately, which he normally doesn't do. Just as long as I have one for myself. Where's my 311?
I don't even have a copy.
They've got them in there. Wrangler's
well, there's one. There's one here.
That's the greatest hits.
It's got my name on it, though. You can have this one.
Two times.
I'll get another one.
Oh, you grabbed the greatest hits.
Yes.
Oh.
And you're holding the single.
The new one. Yeah. Oh, is this single. Just a single?
Yeah, but it looks very much like the actual album.
Yeah, but
do you have an album?
It's like things that
will you send album to Adam and a greatest hits one?
But of course,
yeah, like a greatest hits one too. Okay. Like them both.
Get you a whole box of those.
Yeah. All right. Where are we?
We are
found out
yet to help
like
somebody.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not break our streak then. Let's talk a little more about the Anaheim parking lot. Sarah.
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
Uh oh. Now my spidey sense is tingling. You sound angry.
No, I'm not. I'm staring at the light, and I have a headache.
Okay.
Try not staring at the light.
I didn't know the light, the room you were in was illuminated, so I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, am I on air? I am, aren't I? And I just sounded like a fool, right?
Yeah.
Darn.
All right, don't curse. Don't cuss, because it's coming.
But we want to help.
Okay.
All right.
What's your problem?
Well, my problem is I like this guy. And he's really cool, and he's really nice. But I found out today that he is actually a she. And that he takes hormones to be a guy. And I'm just wondering...
He was a she? What's the genitalia?
Vagina.
Vagina. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, technically, he's still a girl. Like, I've known him only as a guy. Uh-huh. And I'm just wondering, like, I like him.
Yeah.
But should I... Should I, like, try and, like, go have for
you ever,
it or not.
Have you ever had same-sex feelings?
Yeah.
No, I mean gay.
Yeah.
So you think you're gay, but this is the first time you've liked a guy?
No, okay. What the thing is, like,
it's always confusing.
I guess I'm bi, because I like guys and girls. Like, I'm not really sure which way I'm going with this.
Sarah, I'm just going to ask a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
When did you get molested?
Okay, I got molested from when I was about 5 until I was 12.
Hold on a second. I have to be knocked over with a feather. Oh, my goodness.
Shocking.
Shocking. Shocking.
Couldn't tell that.
Not to make light of your...
Not to make light of it, but to make light of all the a-holes who say, look, everyone's an individual, and you don't know anybody, and everyone's story is different, and you can't judge and tell you. Of course she was molested. That's why her compass is spinning around like she's in the devil's triangle.
Why she makes us feel the way she does.
Yes, she's angry. Angry as hell. And you get angry when you get molested because you should be angry.
I wrote something down the moment she started talking.
I saw it. That's right. I saw it.
That's right.
She gives me a definite gay vibe. Regardless of what's caused it, I get the sense, Sarah, that you are, in fact...
really?
All right.
Yeah,
so you one syllable into our conversation, Drew thought gay, I thought molested.
Yeah.
You know, I always listen to you guys, and you always get the molestation thing in, like, 2 seconds, and I just knew if I ever called, you would get it in, like, a second.
Well, because...
Well, God bless you for sort of caving in real quick and easily with us.
Yeah, and listen, you wear it. I mean, people sound like what they are. They sound like what they're thinking. Even if the words aren't what they're thinking, it's the tone.
Really?
I don't think people realize
it's the affect. It's the my
how much
tone,
they give away. That
we don't
way.
Just mean the tone of your voice, the tone, the affect tone, the emotional tone that you portray.
Right.
A certain quality that's
now,
always there.
The point is now that we've done this, we're not gonna judge because it's impossible. But here's the deal: you got to get some therapy for what was done to you.
Okay.
Have you done that?
I have. Believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I do. But I was going
to
say
it sounds like that because we didn't have to. We didn't have to ring it, out, it of out of you.
But
right?
Now here's what I was going to say. I think this is my humble opinion, and this is sort of maybe even irresponsible jumping through up to this so quickly. But aren't you? Is it not the case you were struggling with your homosexuality?
Yeah.
You don't want to be gay. You don't want to be gay, do you?
I don't want to have to tell my parents.
Right. You don't want to be gay, and that's what you've been struggling with. I think it's time you kind of maybe had a homosexual relationship and sort of...
I haven't had a relationship, but I've been with, like, girls and stuff like that.
Maybe you ought to have a relationship.
Why don't you want to tell your parents, and how were they involved with the molestation?
All right. You guys are going to have fun with this one, first of all. All right, I don't want to tell my mom because I know that she's going to be like, have you ever been in a relationship with a girl, Sarah? You know, how do you know that you're gay? You're not gay, Sarah. You know, just because you've kissed a girl, just because you've had a dream about a girl, doesn't mean that you're gay. Okay,
right.
So that's why I don't want to tell her because it's just
you're a lesbian.
In my face.
All right, but why? Okay, so you're 17, you don't have to tell her, but
exactly.
Who molested you?
All right, this is where it gets really fun and interesting. My mom's boyfriend molested me when I was 7 years old. She walked in on him molesting me, and she didn't do anything.
Wow. Well, she got molested.
Yeah, so
yeah, she did. But yeah. And
oh,
like,
another shocker.
Wait a minute. And, oh, hold on.
Oh.
How
do you know?
How do you know?
It's shocking. Thing. It's so shocking.
How do I know that she got molested?
No,
how do
no,
we
no.
know?
We
it's
knew
easy.
It.
That's all. I just wish society would understand this and then sort of act accordingly. I mean, so people could get help and so we could prevent this.
I know.
You know what I mean? I mean, if society would understand, in my humble opinion, it's sort of society's job to understand these patterns and sort of head things off to protect people. If we understand there's an Al-Qaeda attack that's coming this way, our job is to go head it off, not clean it up after the bomb goes off. If we have this information, we have this information. We probably could have prevented you from getting what you got based on what we know about your mom's history and the kind of guy she'd be attracted to and who she'd bring into the home. But we choose to act like everyone is an individual. Therefore, we can never really anticipate these things, and we can never focus on them, and they never get corrected. We just wait around until somebody gets victimized again. It's rudimentary stuff. It's very easy, and I just wish someone would talk about it. We could focus on it and see if we could reverse the trend a little bit. All right. So anyway, you got molested, and obviously you're angry at your mom.
Yeah.
And you should be. And she let this go on for how long?
let me see, like 5 years, I think, after that.
Okay, so look, ruining your mom's day with your proclamation of being a lesbian is going to be a watershed
payback.
Moment in your life. Yeah,
payback.
Obviously, it's payback. That's another thing. This is all filled with sort of Loveline cliches, but when somebody worries about devastating their parents because they're telling them, because their dad's a racist and they have to bring home their black boyfriend, it's not about worrying about their dad. It's payback time. It's payback time for your horrible mother.
This is a little bit different, though, because she's preoccupying about not doing it, not preoccupying about doing it.
Okay.
And she's very codependent on mom.
Right.
Busy taking care of mom. You can't, you were sort of mom's caretaker, weren't you?
Dude, my therapist said the exact same thing for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
All right. Do you still have a therapist?
No, I actually stopped going after about 3 years. You guys think I should go back?
Yes, yes. Run.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, don't leave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Run very immediately. Go right now. Sit up for the office.
That's the sound it should make when you're running for your therapist. The same sound it's going to make when I get home.
Is there really a boyfriend?
In a little spice.
Well, it's a girl boyfriend.
Yeah. All right.
It's sort of a solution to all her dynamics, though, isn't
right.
it? It's a female with male hormones.
But, Sarah, don't squeeze the trigger on anything.
Yes.
The he-she guy, don't worry about making a decision on him
Go to therapy.
Or her. The mom proclamation?
No.
Get back into therapy. You're smart.
You're doing
fine.
Good work. You're great.
Just keep doing good work. You're 17.
You sound like you're 27. I thought I was talking to a 27-year-old.
Right.
But yeah, go back to therapy.
Goal of her therapy is for her to realize it wasn't her fault.
Oh, yeah. All
the Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. 311 in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 311 in studio tonight.
Up in here.
Don't tread on me. Name of the new CD is going to be out in about three and a half weeks or so. We'll hear something else off the best of. Which is the best of 311, which is the one that, or actually the greatest hits, 311. I'm 0 for like 10, because I think there's probably as many best of as there is greatest hits, but I always say the wrong one whenever the band is in here. If they have a best of, I call it the greatest hits, and if it's the greatest hits, I call it the best of.
Well, to us, it's two totally different things, because this was just based on like what was on the radio, and best of could just be obscure tracks that our fans really love. So
did you guys do
we haven't done a best of, but it would just be too hard.
Are you planning on it?
There's a iTunes best of,
there's like
up on
fans favorite
Apple.
Lists and so forth, but as far as putting it into an album, no.
Are you surprised ever by what the fans like based on their notes compared to what you like? Are there songs that you thought weren't so great that they love and vice versa? Or does it seem to be consistent with your thoughts?
They'll sometimes pick ones that are, you know, we didn't think that people would really like. Like I was talking about that song, Sometimes Jacks Rule the Realm. It's very expansive. It's almost like a, you know, orchestral and how it has no repeating and everything. And it turned out to be a fan favorite, but would never have a chance in hell at being on the radio. So we're pleasantly surprised by the depth of our fans all the time.
We will want to give a let me give a website out, www.311.com. It's 311 the number.
Go figure.
Yeah, huh. Easy. You didn't have to buy that back from anyone or anything.
As a matter of fact, we did have a person squatting on it, but we I think we threatened to sue them. And
no, what it was in some cities, instead of 911 for emergencies, you dial 311 for non-emergencies.
Not in that case, I don't think.
In some cities, and I think it was being held for that. And then when they decided not to do it, that we bought it back.
I thought it was an individual, but hey, it's free advertising. Every time you go to New York, every waste basket has dial 311 instead of 911.
Right. I had somebody bought my name about 10 years ago, and remember that, Drew?
Yep.
And I just laughed like a hyena. Please keep it. I'll give you $50 to hang on to it. Well, Drew, what would I do with a website?
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I have no idea what I would do with it, and I have no idea.
What do you do with it? Nothing.
Where is it? Do you think the guy still owns it?
Sure.
Do you think he's still registering it every year?
He's reaping the profits. He's just raking it in.
Probably.
Raking it in.
Well, what would it be? Just mynamecom?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Michelle, punch that in and see if we find anything.
Oh, that would be a site.
And then we're going to give back hold the name. People.
Oh.
Hold the domain.
Well, maybe it is a site. Yeah, Kelly?
Hi, Nick. Hi, Peanut.
Hi.
How's it
going? Good.
What's happening, good. Kelly?
What's that?
You have a question for the band?
I sure do. First of all, I absolutely love you guys. Cannot wait to see you at the Grove in Anaheim. And would totally love to hear Jack's Rule the Realm live. I think that'd be awesome.
Mm. You guys planning on it?
It's a very difficult song, and it's really early in the tour. Is there anything else you'd like to hear?
Actually, there is. Song you always used to close the shows with. I don't suppose I can say the name on the radio, but...
F the BS, yes, we know the one. Yeah. And in fact, we rehearsed it today.
Quite well, I would say. Wouldn't you think so?
Oh, yeah, we turned out the jams. Wow.
Our rehearsal was great today. Everyone should have been there.
Really? It felt good. It's nice.
Sweaty.
Back.
Sweaty and strong.
Do you guys... When you have a good rehearsal, does everyone have a good rehearsal? I mean, is all like almost just like an energy thing where you all almost agree silently to have a good rehearsal, and then other days you all agree silently to have a bad rehearsal?
No, I think we always try to do well, but...
No, I mean, you try like every weird time, but sometimes it's just not happening.
Yeah. We're going to make this one suck.
It's weird. I mean, anyone... I know I'm asking you the question, but I used to do group improv stuff, and it'd be like there'd be nights when everyone was on their period. No one talked about it. It was just a horrible night, and everyone sucked. It was like one guy was good and everyone sucked. It was like everyone sucked, and then nights where everyone was great. Do you have that as a band, that kind of energy?
I just think with the transition from doing an album to getting ready to perform these new songs live and everything else and continue our kind of road dominance that we've kind of been focusing on, I think it just goes to like a strength thing. Like the first practices aren't that good because we're not that strong, and now that we're about 3.5 weeks into rehearsing, we're as strong as we need to be, and we're ready to rock. So watch out.
But sometimes you'll go, I'll come off stage and be kind of frustrated, and people will be like, "That's the best show I've ever seen you do." So you never know.
That's a sign of someone that's pushing themselves to another level. So if you get down on yourself about a performance that other people appreciated, you're just taking it to another level. That's how I'm starting to learn how to understand it, even though I've never had that problem.
Me neither.
Every show is great. You know, I screw up, I don't care, I leave it on the stage.
Yeah.
But I know Chad has a hard time with some shows. He's like, just mad after these great shows.
He'll just need to be alone.
But it's because he's so great and he's pushing himself to another level, and I just don't understand that. I have too much fun on stage. I'm never going to worry about it.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Kelly.
My day.
Yeah. Yes. Nice. Do you have a question about DVDs?
I do have a question about the DVDs. They're so fun to watch. I have them all. I was wondering if you are planning a large to show detail 3 anytime soon.
We're filming for it. We filmed quite a bit of the making of this new album.
Woo-hoo.
And we're going to film some live 15-year anniversary concerts, because this is our 15th year since forming on June 10th in 1990. So, yeah, we got a bunch of stuff coming down the line as far as when it'll all be ready to be put together and put out. We don't know, but we'll always be doing things
like that. What's the June 10th? What was that date? I mean, is it the first time you played, or the first time you met, or...
No, we had met. We opened for Fugazi in Omaha, Nebraska.
That's right.
And we were sitting there with our 40s, even though they don't drink or anything.
Wow. Right, or have sex or anything.
We weren't having sex.
Or eat meat.
Wow.
But that was like the best show we could have had, because it was like a built-in audience of Omaha punks.
That were ready to slam.
Ready to rock, and most of them were our friends.
Right.
And even though we hadn't played a show yet.
That's the first show that 311 played. But you guys had known each other and obviously rehearsed and that stuff. How long before that? I mean, when did you meet?
Well, me and Tim go back to high school days since we were 15. So Tim and I are on our like 20-year anniversary of playing together. And
elitist.
It's a little source of tension.
Sure.
And Chad was in the school jazz band with me, so we go back a little further. But then we hooked up with SA and Peanut around 90, and then we had our first gig, and that's really where it all starts. It's June 10th, 1990.
Because Drew's pretty heavily into Fugazi.
You bet.
I can tell.
I know that. Yeah. It's a surprise you're not wearing your T-shirt. He normally wears a Fugazi.
This is not a Fugazi T-shirt.
T-shirt. No. He's wearing a Cinderella.
Is he more into Guy or Ian?
Yeah, he's in more in the Foo than the guys or the E. I got to believe. You're in the guys.
The E.
You're in the E. Mm-hmm. No, okay.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, hey, takes all kinds.
I don't think they've ever, I don't think Fugazi's ever been in here, have
nope.
they?
No.
But people know who they are, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're legends in the right circles.
What is? But I'm not that familiar with them, other than I know who they are. But I don't know what their angle is or what their rap is.
Well, they come from Minor Threat, which was a seminal right. punk band, and then
DC.
Yeah, DC. But they are so purist; they won't do any interviews with anything that
promotes alcohol
or tobacco.
So So if you want to interview, you have to take out all the ads out of your pop magazine.
Oh, really?
Yep. And shove it where.
Wow. Awesome. Right. Angry, but awesome. Well, I'm glad they weren't here, because we would start arguing about something like when we started arguing with Chumbawamba.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's a battle. There's 20 of them, right?
I know. They're anarchists. They tub thumped Drew's head,
but they're in a band. How can you be in a band? I'm forming an anarchist club. Anybody who wants to join?
I
get it.
Yeah,
get it.
I know. It's just like they're just angry.
They're just English. English.
Here's what anarchy is: it's sort of angry without a plan.
Sure did.
And whenever you start scraping beneath the surface of their anarchy, there's nothing there. It's like, so wait a minute. One day a jet pilot should be flying commercial aircraft, and the next day he should be a garbage man, and the next day he shouldn't be working, and then someone else, a housewife, should get her turn flying the commercial aircraft. I mean, who's picking up the garbage? Like, this is awesome, except for the part where nothing's going to get done. Nothing's ever going to get done. No roads will be paved. No prisons will be staffed. And no streetlights will ever be repaired. There'll be nothing, which is awesome if you don't have anything, but it sucks if you got a few nice cars and a decent house. You're not for this.
Not too practical.
Right. Hans, and all those great anarchist cultures, all those great empires built on anarchy over the year, where the streets were paved with gold.
Very successful.
Yeah, sure. We all know throughout history. Hans. Yes. What's up, Hans?
Drop it.
Well, first of all, I just want to send out my love to 311.
Looking forward to
seeing you guys out there in Santa Cruz at the Catalyst.
Oh, man, that's going to be so great. What night are you coming, the first night or the second night?
The second night. And my wife got me tickets to fly out from Phoenix out there.
Beautiful.
To my hometown for Father's Day. So.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to blow up the spot. It's going to be like playing the old days. It's like, 600 or 900?
900, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a small club. Yeah.
Got a good woman taking care of you.
Santa Cruz. That sounds great.
So, yeah. I'm looking for some advice. Basically, my wife... she and I are coming up on our one-year anniversary this September 18th.
Congrats.
And thank you very much. We have a one-year-old baby boy. He just turned one this July 9th.
Nice. Congrats again.
Thank you very much. Pina, I know you're a father. Is that right?
No, I'm not, but I've been married for 4 years, so okay. I'm a commitment guy.
Oh, yeah. So basically the sex drive has gone way down the tube.
Since the baby.
After the kid?
Well, after the kid, up and down. It was crazy. She was riding high when she was totally pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I don't know if it was postpartum or what, but...
That's typically let down. Look, one thing that God had right is you're not supposed to get pregnant one right after the other.
Yeah.
It's sort of a natural child, contraception.
Yeah. Tell that to Mexico.
And
China.
And childbirth, China. Excuse me, and breastfeeding makes that even more so.
Canada got the word, but China and Mexico missed that memo. They were so busy effing, they didn't go out and check the mail.
So the letdown of the drop in hormones can drop people's sex drive. And sometimes getting on a birth control pill, something like that, to restore the hormones will help restore the sex drive.
What about certain cultures like China, Mexico, that were cranking out the kids?
India.
Do they have this? Or do you think parts of Western Europe, the women are actually different?
No. What you see is they have a kid every 18 months or so.
And over a course of 20 years,
right.
you got 15 kids.
That's right.
Is that how it works?
They don't have a kid every 9 months. They have like every 18 months.
That's about 10 or 11. Yeah. But if you checked the libido of a woman from India... China. up against a woman from Sweden or Denmark or United States, do you think that postpartum thing, do you think there be, would it evolve any differently? Is there any difference? Or has anyone ever looked into that?
I don't know if it's been looked into. I don't know the answer to that. I would bet there could be differences. Makes sense, right?
Maybe the difference is in the guys. Here's another thing, too. Like, I think certain countries we're talking about, chick says no, that means no. Chick says no, it's like, all right, I'll be fast.
Right. But isn't there kind of a
no
thing
means
that
we'll get it over with.
In more developed, more financially well-off cultures, they place a lot more emphasis on the whole, you know, am I depressed, am I not depressed, places like that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that some of these cultures we're talking about can even afford to be depressed. They didn't have the luxury of being depressed. Like,
are you physically
able? Yes, get to work. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I have Epstein-Barr syndrome. Get to work. I have chronic fatigue.
I'm lactose intolerant.
Get to work. Let me check my biorhythm. Get to work. Can you walk? Go to work.
I would say be patient. It's the best thing. I mean, you've been in this relationship for a while. You've definitely got a kid. That's obvious.
Yeah. And again, she can get checked in, too. It's been a year since the kid?
Well, yeah.
No, not even.
Not even a year.
Well, she's 2 months pregnant, too.
Oh, well, she's pregnant again. She's the first trimester, but there's no libido.
All right.
So you're fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just be patient. Don't try not to take it too seriously.
Try and keep her out of the mosh pit at the show. She will have libido in the third trimester again.
Share the
relationship. Many tricks on humans. When she's fully pregnant, that's when she'll sexually
come up with special positions.
I need some sex.
What kind of plan is that? Or maybe it's so there's no confusion as to who daddy is. Ooh.
Well, I think more it's what creates the letdown afterwards.
Heavy.
I think I'm onto something here.
All right.
But I think more it's what creates the letdown afterwards.
But
they're flooded with hormones, their system gets downregulated, right, and then it just shuts off.
But, you know,
be a mama. A
couple thousand years ago, if a chick was pregnant, she might pass, you know, might be with more than one guy. At the early stages, right, and therefore plenty of confusion surrounding who sired the kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but when she gets more horny later in the pregnancy, more guys.
Yeah, but you know, by then you know who the dad is because he's only with the one guy. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Huh? Hmm? Yeah. Listen, there's got to be something they can do other than have sex with you when they get into that eighth month. Well, do you know what I mean? Like, what'd you do in high school? You know what I mean?
You know,
work it out.
Special toys and whatnot.
Wait, yeah, I'm just saying, I know what it's like. I know it's like to rough it sexually, you know, high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you want to do during the third trimester?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or you want her to do during the third trimester?
Well, we'll both do it.
Why not have sex?
You know,
you're throwing a wrench in my plan.
It's weird, that's why. I think it's weird.
Why?
You know what I mean?
No.
Okay.
Like a hand's going to reach down and grab
you. You know, I don't like that holier than thou.
No. I'm
crap
curious.
You try to pull.
No.
Well, you're so healthy.
I'm curious.
So centered.
Very tense in here, people.
So self-actuated. Centered.
On my Discovery Health Channel show, Midnight Tonight.
High horse. Look at this high horse.
Discovery Health Channel, Midnight Wednesday.
That's right.
Which is now we're talking about phobias on the show. And one of the things.
Phobias.
Yeah. And one of the phobias men have is about pregnancy and having sex during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're afraid of. And they have, and lots of men have all kinds of sort of fantasies. Even when they sort of know better, they mm-hmm. still become convinced that the child's watching, the child's mm-hmm. going to feel it, the child's going to grab the penis, the child's going
to
come down.
I add all of them to my list.
Yeah. And so there's sort of a primitive sort of a preoccupation along those lines, but you can get over that and get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
No? Mm-hmm. You can get over it?
Well, here's the thing. You're a man of passion. Mm-hmm. Exquisite passion, and that
you can
passion
tell by looking at him.
that passion is so great that there's no obstacle, no hurdle large enough to prevent that passion from finding its mark. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's no tampon big enough. There's no woman pregnant enough. There's no
ain't no valley high.
No penis drunk enough to prevent that passion. I don't share your passion for anything.
That's true.
I enjoy the act of making love.
You share a passion for the cars.
I do share that. But what I'm saying is there's a whole range of sort of libidos even within men, mm-hmm. and some guys are a little more like chicks.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little more of that.
Ooh.
Which is, well, I'd definitely be a horny chick. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'd be a slut.
Right.
But you're all man.
Right.
I mean, for you. It's business.
Thanks for explaining that.
He must agree.
No, I just
for explaining.
Totally all man.
I just mean it's a visceral.
Yes.
You need to eat, yes. And you need to eat, yes, every day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas for me, I'm like a cat, I'm a little finicky.
Yeah, yeah.
I sniff it. Nah, I'll be up on the sofa.
Walk the tail straight.
I walk the tail up so you can see my a hole. Just be walking. That's the one thing I got to do with my dog. I got to get a dog's tail down. My dog has a prodigious a hole. It's like the size of a silver dollar. It actually moves when she barks and stuff. Her tail,
like, comes out a little bit.
Her tail's up like the dog from the Archie's cartoon. It's like it actually goes up and bows. It actually comes like hits her in the back of the neck. And it's just that a-hole I stare at when she stands in the French door, just bellows at the side of the mound.
Pucker. You could get it tattooed, pucker, maybe.
How about I just get one of those sort of beige eye patches or pasty or something, anal pasty for dogs,
maybe,
a ham for the ladies.
Maybe a little face you can put, where that's the mouth. And
fake hair spray paint.
Paste that on there.
Something's got to be done.
You can,
because
you,
it's embarrassing.
Make it into a face with using branding, you know.
Yeah, oh,
nice.
And a
little mustache with him out there.
Wow, the hairy old man smoking a cigar. No! He's making a number two. All right, let's take a break.
To the animal with the prodigious a-hole.
All I'm saying, I was picturing the cat.
We'll help you with your love problems.
All I'm saying,
prodigious,
Drew,
is, word,
is you.
Yes,
you,
yes.
You,
I have a
Drew,
prodigious male.
Sex drive. Yeah. Yes, yes. You're a passionate, passionate man. I don't share your passion, and I'm good with it.
Mm?
But if there's an obstacle, then I can wait it out.
Mm?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
3 months is a long time, so there's going to have to be something done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just calling a hooker or something that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a little break.
All right.
311 in studio tonight. Going to hear a oldie but a goodie from 311 off of the greatest hits. We'll do that when we come back after this. Yeah. Loveline.
Love it.
Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Oh, like the gorillas.
Oh, yeah.
We hate the gorillas.
Plug one.
But
we love De La Soul.
I like this song. We don't like them as human beings. We've decided.
They gave you problems? I want to hear.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Attitude.
Here's the thing about English bands. They're it's feast or famine with them.
Yeah. Real nice, real straightforward, real personable, or full of their own S.
Same thing's true about English producers.
Interesting.
Indeed.
Really?
And sometimes it'll come from the same guy, one album to the next.
Wow.
Never know what to get.
Wow.
But they know their cars.
Somebody already
really well.
Somebody already worked with.
For example, one album, he's on his Librium, he's not drinking.
He's
perfectly
different.
Sweet. The
By
next
the way,
album.
On Librium is...
The next album, he's talking to the helicopters, he's gathering children's toys in the neighborhood, he's lining up rocks and doing all these weird schizophrenic things.
I was 18. I didn't know what to do.
Wow. That's your first and second?
Just keep making an album.
This is music and grassroots.
Yeah.
Wow. It is amazing what you'll put up with or endure when you don't know any better and you're green. It's just that's the way it is. This is all producers, and who am I to say anything?
What were you going to say about Librium? I mean, I know nothing about it.
It's a Valium. It's just going from alcohol to Valium to whatever. It's just another.
Why do you take Librium? And do they have it anymore? Do they still give it?
Liberty.
We use it for alcohol detox all the time. It's a good drug for.
It's just Valium?
Valium Lyctra.
Yeah. I like that.
Another random pharmacological question.
Mm-hmm.
Thorazine, that's what they put you on if you're
almost
like, going to kill yourself.
I'd say never used now.
Really?
I haven't seen Thorazine used in 10 years.
Yeah. So I mean,
we got all kinds of much better stuff that they use.
What would Thorazine do? Smell you out?
Knock you to your knees.
Zombie.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie.
Can I get some of that?
It's called a Thorazine shuffle.
But it wasn't a pill form, was it?
Both, pill and shot.
Oh, give me the pill.
Okay, well.
I don't like the pill.
It causes something called tardive dyskinesia. We replace just moving around.
Look, I got to go to the dentist to actually have a caisson drilled into my jaw on Friday. How about some Thorazine?
You can put in a gun turret in there.
Yeah, how about a little Thorazine? What do you got?
I'm
you got
better.
Something?
Way better than that.
You got
I'll hook
better
you up,
stuff?
Adam.
Ooh. I forgot about the candy woman over here. Michelle, seriously, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I need something for Friday. I'll pay you.
Take the sunshine.
I got money. You know what I mean? I mean, in check form, but I got
bundles,
money.
You mean?
Yeah, I got bundles. Yeah. Literally a millionaire. Literally.
Song. Right. Let's hear a song.
You want to hear a song?
Yeah.
I got to get something. Yeah. Okay. Because, you know.
I'm not scoring for you.
No, but Michelle will. Look.
I told you this is the last time.
I told you last time was the last time.
Exactly. That's what I tried to say.
We will take ourselves, not a break, but a little song break with
musical
311.
Interlude.
That's right.
We'll this is free our minds.
This
and
is one
drift.
Off the greatest hits called Flowing.
Show going on. Let's help some more people.
Yeah. 311, everybody. Forgot how much I like that song. That's off the...
Thank you.
I was going to say the greatest hits, but...
Originally
it is
off
the greatest hits.
Sound System.
Right.
Is the album it came from.
Also, the new CD is called Don't Tread on Me, and that is coming out in about 3.5 weeks. That'll be on August 16th. Always a Tuesday, right?
Guess so.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the...
They make us do it.
Took me about 10 years to figure out that every time a band came in here, their CD came out on Tuesday. It took about 9 years for me to make the connection.
Your Tuesday, too?
Well, let's say that.
Everyone's Tuesday. It's crazy.
You know, all the best bands are on Tuesday.
Fugazi came in here on... Their thing was Tuesday. Yeah, Chumbawamba was Tuesday. Everyone's Tuesday. Cool, man. Talk
Pennywise,
about coincidence.
Dogstar.
Dogstar.
I'll tell you, I would like
Dogfish.
I would like a battle of the suck-ass bands. We'll put the Dogstar up against the Bacon Brothers. Maybe Russell Crowe put his band in there.
What's that? Nine foot
a pounds
man,
of
some,
nine
some
stone.
Flaming man.
Yeah, those English with
Don't
their
throw a phone at me.
With their stones and all that. Yeah. All right.
It's a very manly band.
Yeah. We will avoid what them. Happened to Dog Star? Yeah, I miss those guys. Yeah. See, what happens is
you the Matrix.
The guy like Keanu Reeves did the show. Yeah. Where was I? Before I was here? It was like way over before. 10 years ago?
Oh, it was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, good guy. Better than Chumbawamba?
His silence speaks volumes.
Smart guy, though, right?
Adam!
Corolla!
Yeah. Shut up! Shut up!
Give me a little insane clown posse just to even me out a bit.
Yeah. We have any of that?
Oh, man, they had a Simpsons episode named after them.
Yeah. The only weight I lift is my own, my big fat ass every day when I wake up. That was pretty good. My fat ass. Oh, my God. Hey, play that again. You pansy.
I remember the first time I came in here wearing those Mexican wrestling
scared
masks.
Scared the crap out of you.
They never? Scare the crap out of me because they're huge guys. And they're intimidating. Yeah, but nice. Mm. Sweet as sugar, those insane clown posse.
Stop and try again.
Oh, we lost Joanna.
Joanna hung up.
She got tired of our repartee.
I thought that was another one of those fancy samples that are coming from the Netherlands.
Jasmine?
You pansy!
Jasmine.
Hello.
Listen, we got to get... substance. What the hell's the... What do we got?
Like save us.
Lethal or... What's the insane clown posse guy's name?
Violent J.
I gotta get him.
It's a good name.
And Shaggy. I gotta get the guys a voiceover agent.
Yeah.
Because they could work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's good.
They could work it.
That's good stuff. All right, let's talk to Jasmine. Jasmine?
They got energy.
25?
Yes.
Yeah, this kid's got what we call it in the business. Go ahead, Jasmine.
Okay, hi to the guys from 311. Yeah, they're awesome.
Hi, Jasmine. Thank you.
Hi. Okay, well, my question is, I have a four-year-old boy. He's going to be 5 next month. And I basically sleep with just underwear on and with him.
You sleep in the bed with him?
Right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know how much of an effect. I mean, I know that, it, you know, I'm not going to keep on doing it as he gets older. But, you know, up until now, I've been doing it.
Okay.
You and your underpants sleep in the same bed.
Right.
All right.
Generally, people think that's not a great idea. Now, let me sort of, by way of joking, express that it's not such a horrible thing. I mean, you could say, for instance, oh, yeah, one of the things you want to do is make sure you shame your boy about bodies and make him feel uncomfortable and weird around people who are naked.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that, of course. There's something positive in this. On the other hand, by not letting him to have his own bed and his own room and his own separateness from you, you're giving him the message that he can't handle that. And that's not healthy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I understand that, you know, I know that he's supposed to get his own bed and everything, but, you know, since I'm, you know, it's me and him, and I don't know, we have a connection, you know, I'm a single mother.
Again, so, the message to him is, I need you, I can't survive without you, and by the way, I don't think you can handle being separate from me. That's a horrible
message.
Everyone
has a connection with their kid, theoretically.
This is all about you, and you've got to realize he needs some things. He needs to be able to separate and feel autonomous and feel that he is able to be okay in the world without you. I know that's painful for you.
When he's 18 years old, you're going to be having to kick him out of the place. Because
it'll be worse than that. That'd be the best thing that can happen if he's okay like that at 18. But he needs to have a sense of separateness. That's what growing up is. That's what being a person is.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the apartment's not so big.
Right.
That he'd ever be more than 8 feet away from you anyway.
So I'm being a little bit greedy by saying I want my bedroom to look just like, you know, not... I mean, I could put a little bed, but I kind of like the big bed and, you know, the comfort of him being there and me. And
all right, well, look, don't listen to us and just ruin the kid.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. It's your kid.
Well,
awesome.
I would have been on hold if I didn't want your advice. Hello.
Well, we just gave it to you 3 times.
Well, what? Okay,
you're dismissing it.
So, no, the best thing would be to just get him a separate bed. That's what you're saying.
Not the best thing. You are acting out your needs on the child rather than giving him what he needs. Do you understand what I mean by that? A child needs to separate slowly and in doses that he can tolerate. But the message he needs to get is, I'll be fine. Don't have to worry about me, because if he's busy caretaking for you, he can't get his needs met. And I know you can handle being separate, and we're going to give you a separate space to be separate.
My parents were awesome at that.
Yeah, hey, you're a big boy. You get your own big boy bed now. Yeah. Yay, it's a happy thing.
Yes.
That's one thing my parents did well. Hey, I got a Pop Warner football game. Enjoy! it's championship. Yeah. Don't let the screen door hit you on the way out.
Hey, what's for dinner?
What's for dinner? I don't know. What'd you make? Yeah, it's awesome. It was like living in a flop house. It was awesome. Yeah. They did a great job at that, True. If that's how you measure great parents, I'm all wrong about
that.
Well,
them. It can go too far.
Yeah, maybe.
And again, I don't want to tell her that it's a bad thing to be close to your child. Of course, we're no door to shame him about bodies. I'm saying
five, time
that,
for him to go.
That her inability to separate makes it all about her, and that is the opposite of what a child needs. What a child needs from parenting is what's all about them.
Here's the other thing, too, I learned from watching my autopsy show on HBO. A lot of, not with the five-year-olds, but with the infants, rollover deaths.
Oh, yeah.
Big Mama has a couple of beers, rolls over on Junior, suffocates him.
Can't breathe so good.
Kids need to be in a crib. If Mama's had a couple of boozes or a little sleeping disorder and rolls over on the kid, they suffocate all the time. It's like 70 times more dangerous to sleep with your mom than it is to sleep in the crib.
Yep. So, Jasmine, if you're a big girl, do it now.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. You know, Dr. Bodden had to explain, the guy is a forensic guy, had to explain to the mom who was like lost a couple of kids, don't worry, you're off the hook. I mean, you didn't kill the kid in the eyes of the law. You just rolled over on
Which
the kid.
Killed him.
Yeah, she went out drinking, slept with the kid, rolled over on the kid.
By the way, if that's not in the eyes of the law, it should be.
Well, considering there were a couple other kids that didn't make it in her brood.
And it's all around alcohol.
Yeah.
Reckless endangerment.
Gotta do something about it.
Yeah, I know, but see, my take on that sort of cosmically is, don't worry, she's getting punished. She doesn't need to be in a prison.
Not only that, the kids are getting released from a burden.
Ooh, they're in a better place?
Well, from this one.
Fatalistic.
Right. Not a better place from your pad, but from the crappy apartment, the rust-colored carpet, better place. All right. Drew. Wow. What other Hitler-esque plans does Dr. Drew have planned for the nation?
Just saying.
Well, stay tuned. This is what's called
ethnic
a tease.
Cleansing or something.
Yeah. Don't channel, I get into ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, tell us about the final solution.
It's on Discovery Health Channel tonight at midnight.
That's not your final solution. That's just.
We'll discuss the final solution.
All right, after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline.
Yo,
Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Peanuts here, Nick Hexum here, both from 311.
Woo-hoo. Thank you.
And we're proud of a down there. Nick admonished Drew and I for not helping enough young people during the break.
I'm like, we got 10 minutes left.
I almost
kind of helped like four people.
I almost said good day to him.
Yeah, I was this close to saying good day.
I was just about to say good day. And then I would say, I said good day.
I first of all want to say, how dare you?
How dare you? And then good day.
We've helped plenty of people.
Well, I never.
I was going to have one of my seconds approach him as well.
Next.
Whoa. Please.
All right. Now, we're going to remedy this problem by talking to Carla, who's 18. Carla?
Hello?
What's up, baby doll?
I actually have a question. Well, I just started doing videos.
Adult videos, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, and so, like, the last few times I've gotten oral from a guy, I've developed a yeast infection. I'm taking a shower, I'm doing everything right.
Mm-hmm.
I was just agreeing with you.
Can you get yeast infections from your mouth?
Yeast infections from anything, really. You introduce something into that sort of environment.
What would be the symptoms of a mouth yeast infection?
She has a yeast infection from the guy.
She's equating it with these guys.
How did the guy give her a yeast infection?
It wouldn't be. There is such a thing called oral thrush that people get if they have AIDS or when they're, have immune suppression, cancer patients, that sort of thing. It can happen in other situations too. People using drugs, drinking on psychiatric medication, sometimes even. But
this
that's
is
not
just
usually,
sort of screwing with
this is
the
just
flora
changing
and fauna.
The environment there.
Okay.
That gives them.
How many movies have you done?
By the way,
Carla?
This might not be
like five.
How do you know it's yeast infections, Carla, and not an STD or a vaginitis?
No, it's nothing like that. I've gone tested everything else, and the first time it happened, it was like a month ago, and I took one of the, the little pill, and it went away in a day.
Yeah, the Diflucan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, this time, I got it again. The guy did oral again, and I don't know, a few days later, but he was drinking alcohol. Could that have something to do with it?
I guess it could, but it's not, you know, I wouldn't, yeah. It could, yeah, it could.
Why, I don't think that's a good sign that your leading man had to have a couple of boozes before he got into the bedroom with you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, I don't know, but that's what he does to relax, and he's like one of those big guys, you know, known for his acting skills, I should say. But mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, all those guys are known for their acting, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, thespians. Yes, that's
yes. And Carly said you've done how many films?
Like five. I've done five tomorrow and Friday on my six and seven. I'm actually doing very well. I've only been in it for like a month, and I've done five.
Okay, you're doing well cash wise, but how do you feel about yourself doing this?
Oh, that's God! This is like the best career for me at this point. I'm saving money for culinary school.
For what?
Saving money for culinary school.
Culinary school.
All right.
So it's a good, you know, it's a good thing. And I know what I'm getting myself into. I'm not. I wasn't abused. I wasn't anything as a kid. So that's out of the picture.
Okay. Well, that's all behind you. I'm gonna go. I know wrong. You know my Jewish or Asian thing.
Yeah.
Jewish. Am I right, Carla?
No. I'm Hispanic.
I've been wrong almost every time. That. I just can't. And you know, I have good instincts about things.
Shocking.
Wrong every time on this one. And how much money do you make per movie?
About 800, and it's about 2 hour scenes.
Right.
And that's only for a girl boy scene. For an anal scene, it would be about 1,500.
Wow, I got chipped. I am angry now. I mean, it was a different time. Well, it was 15 years ago, but still.
Modeling can mean a lot of things, Adam.
No kidding.
The average scene is about $300.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's if they're doing good.
No, I know, but here's the reason you're getting a little more compensation is because this guy shows it to his buddies and has a good laugh 5 years from now, and you get divorced over it. See, so you have to be...
My boyfriend so supports me. My boyfriend's on set with me. And, like, anytime I need, like, a tissue paper to dry up the sweater, I think he's right there, you know.
Carly,
no,
you will live...
Wait a second.
The sweat that usually needs to be...
Hold a second. That's not sweat.
Up.
That is not sweat, number one.
Do you know how hot it is in front of those lights?
Yes, actually, I do. I have been on one of those scenes. Yeah, I have done that.
Is
this bogus? Your boyfriend is there nearby holding your hand during the double anal penetration scene?
What's his screen name?
Yeah, he is. He's really supportive. He's actually, next week he's going to do acting with me. So we're both in it.
Okay.
Well, it sounds
no way.
What is your hunky-dory now, but it ain't going to last.
Yeah, oh, no.
If
indeed this is true.
These kids are going to last forever.
This is a catastrophe.
Oh, true. How can you judge? I'll call him
Your Honor.
Yes. Yeah, so, Carla.
Uh-huh.
What's your screen name?
My screen name? My name is Carla Lane. My screen name and everything, so.
We're Googling you as we speak.
You're just going with your Christian name?
I would say Catholic name, but yes.
Oh, really?
You know
what that says to Dad.
Of course.
F you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember.
Not just dad, but...
Who are you mad at? Your mom or your dad?
Oh, nobody. I love my mom. My mom's my best friend. She's really supportive, actually.
Where's your dad?
My dad is... He's around. He works a lot. So he's a security guard. So
yeah.
I see him here and there. But he's at home. We have a great life. It's not like... Yeah, I noticed you might say I was abused because I'm doing this, but no. Nothing ever happened. That's all right.
Well, you have the support of your mom. You have your dad. You have your boyfriend there manning the wet naps, right? Just out of camera frame. All right, baby. Well, as your people say, Mazel Tov. She did say she was Jew.
It's a mitzvah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sure. Well, you know, when you're really sure about something, it's just hard. Okay,
we're not going to crack this, Carl.
No. But just look.
It's not going to last.
Do you use condoms?
No, I don't use condoms.
Aren't you worried about STDs?
Not really, because the guys I test, the guys I act with get tested at least 3 days before. So, AIM takes care of that. So if anything happens, an outbreak, you know, they know about it before anybody else.
What is, what's the bump for anal? You get an anal bump?
800 to 15.
15, she said.
Up to 15 for anal.
Yeah, you only got 850.
Yeah. All right. And are there meal penalties and stuff like that?
Per diems.
Per diems.
For what? I couldn't understand.
Insurance.
That.
Okay, no, I'm just saying, on normal sets, you know, you break for lunch a little bit late, you get a little bump, you get a little meal penalty,
what do you mean,
they call it.
Bipolar?
Wow.
Yeah. Just totally clueless.
There's something going on. Well, now, I don't know, could she have not been abused and she just has a sort of a little loose circuit kind of thing?
I think possibly. Because you have to wonder what's going to happen as this stuff becomes more and more mainstream. You know what I mean?
Pornography.
We're used to interpreting behavior in the current historical social context.
Right.
But pornography for people growing up is so mainstream.
Yeah.
So much a part of the fabric of the world they've entered.
Yeah.
That's the barriers to going into that. Like,
no,
what's the big deal?
I saw the E! True Hollywood Story on Jenna Jameson tonight and realized that most teenage boys probably just look at her as a celebrity, like Pam Anderson's a celebrity, or who? Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. But what I mean is,
she's
is
up
you
there with Pam you, Anderson,
Jennifer wow. Love Hewitt, just some foxy chick that they grew up kind of digging,
right?
Yeah, like I used to think a policewoman.
Right, or Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, anything thing. With the word woman at the end. Here's my thing. If it's got the word woman at the end of it, I'm into it. If it's got the word mix at the end of it, like Fiesta Mix or Trail Mix or Chex Mix, I'm out.
Yeah.
So, woman, I'm in. Mix?
Out.
Out.
I say good day.
And if it begins with drink, I'm gone, Daddy. Gone. Do you hear me? All right. Drink, punch, and mix? Gone. Woman, in. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. All right. Well, 311. Where did the time go? We helped 3.5 people.
Those people are terribly thankful.
We helped them so well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sent them on their way towards happiness.
We're enjoying you guys too much.
Nick's outrage. He normally comes in here loaded and gives masturbatorial technique for 2 hours, but this time
oral sex
we helped 3.5 people.
Please.
Oh, up on his high horse. So judgmental.
I'm just so pleased to be back after my terrible gaffe.
Yes.
Thank you.
I say good day.
I say good day, too. Well, that's a show. Don't tread on me, everyone. Name CD out in about 3.5 weeks. 311, always a pleasure. Come back anytime.
Have us back soon.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I need some sex. This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.